We are stoned, and that's okay. So why don't you just stay? Sit back and listen. You don't know what you're missing. It's Talking Stoned While Getting Sports.
Welcome, fellow humans. You are listening to Talking Stoned While Getting Sports, episode 188. I'm the guy that does the intro. No, I gotta restart. I lost my train of thought there, Austin.
All right, let's try it 2 minutes.
Welcome, fellow humans. You're listening to Talking Stone Well Game Sports, episode 188. I'm the guy that doesn't need any retakes in the intro, Mr. Morgan. The guy on the other line that fucks everything up constantly, Austin. How the fricka fucka fricka fuck is it going, buddy?
I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Well, clearly you don't, and you're definitely right. I'm the reason why we didn't record at the minute in or 30 seconds in. So, anyway. Yeah, it's going all right. Just working away, doing my thing. Not much exciting going on in my life. There's lots of exciting stuff happening in the world and stuff to talk about, but not much on over here. How about you?
Well, currently outside, we're having a nice little blizzard.
Ooh.
I was looking at the radar. I was going to actually ask you. According to my radar, it looked like the island might got something last night.
There was a bit, and we are apparently maybe going to get a little bit more today.
Yeah, it's supposed to hit here hard again today. I'm not working, obviously, since I'm doing the podcast right now.
That'd be hilarious.
Which I'm kind of glad because I really don't feel like being on the highways today.
No.
But other than that, what else? I played some board games on Friday night. Fallout board game, actually. It's a lot of fun. I'm a huge fan of the video game, so playing the board game is just another branch off of it, so... It has all the, what's the word I'm looking for, Austin? It has all the common, all the huge points of interest, like Commonwealth and all that stuff. And
yeah.
I'm so big right now, I can't think of the words I'm trying to think of, but I guess that's part of the podcast. What else? Sunday, as of recording, my girlfriend's here right now, and it's probably why I'm stumbling my words, because I always think she can hear me, and I never know. And it's nerve-wracking all every time, even though I'm on a podcast that I'm hoping people are listening to. So it's just a whole different level when someone you know is real close by, at least for me.
I get that.
But anyways, yesterday we went out to my mom's, played some board games, had pork and rice for supper, which was very tasty. Everything seems to be a lot tastier when you don't have to make it.
Absolutely, especially if you don't have to pay for it.
That's even better, my guy.
My guy, that combo, oh man, you can take a fucking boring ass sandwich and it tastes delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I love myself a good sandwich. I've been a sandwich kind of thing lately. I've been making some pretty good sandwiches. Lots of them involving bologna. But they were all pretty tasty.
Honestly, and I know people are like, bologna. Fuck it, man. I love bologna. I love me a bologna sandwich. A little mustard on there. Ooh.
Yeah, you just go the classic, a little mustard, salt, and pepper, or what?
Oh, just mustard.
Just the mustard.
I'm a boring ass bitch. You know that.
That's true. And you used to be a chef, which is weird.
Oh yeah, I can cook delicious food, but I don't want to eat it.
That's okay. My mouth is open. You can fill it up, my guy.
Oh,
okay.
Moving on.
One other thing before we move right along is later today, since it being Monday, I'm playing dodgeball. That's not a shock to anyone that listens to this podcast. But my girlfriend's going to give it a whirl for the first time.
Ooh.
Since, like, well, like everyone says, it's the first time I played since high school or elementary school type era.
Right.
She says she's going to hide behind me the entire time, which isn't a terrible strategy. Although it might be a terrible strategy because lots of people go for me quite heavily because might as well get the strongest player out first, right? I mean, did I say that out loud? I did. Now and it's true.
Bragging? Oh, man.
Yeah, throwing the brakes down early.
I hope nobody on the that you play with listens because that could be awkward.
I don't think they do. They don't care about me.
Okay, perfect. Other than your dodgeball skills?
Other than my dodgeball skills. I can dodge, dip, duck, and dive and dodge like nobody's business.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. You can dodge a wrench. You can dodge a ball.
I haven't tried a wrench yet.
Have you tried traffic?
Yes.
Ah, well, there you go.
That's and we're still talking to each other, so you can...
That's a good sign. You could be doing this from a hospital bed, though. I don't know.
That's true. I could be. You'll never know.
I don't think you are.
What is this intro? What is the start of this podcast?
Well, first things first, you're going to follow us at TSWGS Pod on TikTok. You can rate, review, download the show, tell your friends. That's what kind of show this is. Morgan, you got some plugs?
Why does it matter? Oh, Caption Morgan too, though.
All right.
That's all you need to know. You'll figure out the rest. You're all smart people, mostly.
Well,
unless if you're listening because you like Austin, then you're not very brilliant. But
I mean,
we live and learn, right?
We do, and we grow, and we change, and time will tell.
And talking about changing and time will telling, I don't know. It's a terrible
time will telling. It's close.
Before I dig too far into this thing that we're going to talk about, did you watch at all or pay attention to the NBA All-Star game by chance?
And so not tons, but I'm just not a huge NBA fan, to be completely honest. And honestly, with All-Star games lately, it feels like there's no point. And I think that's
kind of what we're going to talk about. The NBA All-Star, like we did talk about a little bit with the whole Kucherov thing and
the NHL All-Star.
And the NHL All-Stars and all that stuff, just not really giving a shit. And hell, back on that a little bit, even when McDavid won the $1 million, of course, a guy like McDavid that gets paid a shit ton of money as it is, you could tell that he didn't even care about that anyways, either.
Right.
And then when the NBA All-Star comes around, I watched a little bit of the highlights of the game. And once again, as far as the defense goes...
What defense?
The teams really didn't care. The East... broke the 200. I think it was 211 to 187.
Something like that.
211 to 186. My memory is pretty good, my guy.
Well,
I was one off. I was.
I know, but in general,
I didn't cheat. I swear to thee.
To thee. Wow.
To thee.
That's real shit.
That's real. But you could just, even from the highlights, you could just tell, like, they don't care. And I get it, they're trying not to get hurt. It's part of it. Or at least that's probably their main excuse anyways. Which is true. But you have to put on some type of effort, like, in a show for the fans, because we're a portion of the reason why you make the type of money that you make.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. I just find it very frustrating that two separate All-Stars in a row, there's multiple examples of professionals, people that are supposed to, you know, lead by example and stuff like that. And I don't know why all of a sudden, like in previous years, especially in the NHL, people seem to care. Maybe they're just better actors. I don't know. But
yeah, well, and I know in the NHL, it's always kind of a thing where it's like, well, for the All-Star game, they are hungover. And it's like, okay. But give any effort, you know, it's this day isn't even really about you. It's about the fans. It's about, especially with the All-Star games too, it's about the local experience, but it's about the kids, right? And it's to help them get into hockey. And what are we teaching them? Oh, if you're good, you can just not try. And I know I some people will disagree and I get it. It's just an All-Star game. It doesn't actually matter. It's like, but it kind of does. It's like,
okay, it matters for the league overall.
Well, not only that, but it's like, okay, so you played well enough to be considered an All-Star, and you take that as an insult, I guess, and you don't try. Like, most of the guys were decently trying, like, at least on the skills, right?
Yeah.
I say most, but even things like it's tricky to do in Australia now, like, especially like NBA, for example, like, oh, dunk competition. It's like, well, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like we kind of already seen the best dunk.
Yeah.
You know,
you can only jump over people so many times and have it be interesting every time.
Well, you would think that, but they do that every year. Like, I know. Like, oh, wow. Tall man, jump high, dump ball. Like,
oh, look, Shaq's standing there. Someone's jumping over him. Okay, cool.
Well, Shaq is a little more impressive, but still.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't know, man. It's, I used to really like All-Star games, but it feels like nowadays it's just rich guys hanging out, occasionally playing the sport that they're paid millions to play, and barely trying.
And in my mind, the All-Star is supposed to, you know, try and at least put eyes on the sport. Like,
yeah,
sure. Like the NFL, they were playing dodgeball. That's not really NFL related.
Yeah, but I don't really know.
It showed the athletes in a different light. From what I could tell and watched, they seem to really enjoy it, because why wouldn't you? Dodgeball's amazing. I found out myself. And even if the NBA or NHL did things like that, I think would go a long ways. But I don't know, man. It's just, I'm probably just bitter because I'm not even close enough to even make any of these sports that I would be interested in playing. So,
I mean, that's fair.
But watching the, I can tell you as a, not a huge by any means, very little NBA fan, watching the highlights of the NBA All-Star did not get me excited to start watching Raptors games or something.
No.
No, it didn't turn a non-fan into a fan. So, no. That's kind of what they're supposed to do. So,
you would think.
Did you know?
Nope.
That there's someone in the Rider organization that listens to our podcast?
You mentioned this, but let's dig a little deeper on this.
Well, it's clear because last episode I talked about that the Riders need to sign a true left tackle. They've been signing some really good offensive linemen, all-stars and this and that. Although, I will pump my brakes a little bit because the Riders have signed an all-star defensive or offensive lineman in the past. That guy was Derek Dennis. He ended up being a complete bust for him, and then we ended up sending him back to Calgary, and he ended up having an all-star year again. So,
right.
I do understand that I do have, you know, fuck it, time will tell. I can't say those three words anymore without cringing. And I hate this podcast for it.
Well,
but anywho, the Riders have signed Jonathan Hubbard. I kind of like that last name, Hubbard. That seems like a perfect offensive lineman name.
All right.
Well, he's 6'4", 310 pounds. Jeez Louise. That's a big boy. He used to play with Miami Dolphins, undrafted. Yeah, he was in the NFL bunch, bounced down the practice roster, Tampa Bay. So not like, you know, a huge signing, but definitely a depth guy, and he seems to be a true left tackle. And I mostly just put this article in here to prove the fact that we're growing, because the Riders have listened to this podcast. So right there should make you want to like, share, and follow and tell your friends and all that stuff that we're supposed to keep saying. So, anywho, I came across this next article and I thought it'd be quite interesting to talk about.
Okay.
Even though the article that I'm looking at doesn't actually have any info on it now.
Okay. I think I do if I know which one you're talking about.
Well, I'm going to be talking about how the NHL, the NFL, is think of altering the kickoff rules.
Oh, that is not the one that I clicked on.
All right. Well, so they're trying to alter it a little bit more towards the XFL rules. And
interesting. Oh yeah, it's not showing anything on my side either, unless I sign up for Fox News content. No thank you.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that, but I do know a little bit, so I just kind of want to get your thoughts. I do know that the CFL has been humming and hawing about changing some of the rules as well,
right,
in the kickoff suit. I actually think we talked about it in a previous episode. I forget which one. But
one of the 187.
One of them. Go listen to all of them and let us know which one, please.
Yeah, please. Please.
That's your homework for the week.
For the week.
Yeah.
Listen to 187 hours worth of podcasts.
Yeah, and only a couple of them are extended.
Uh-huh. What about work? What about
sleep? Well, hopefully your boss is very chill. Or you're self-employed. Well, that way you can do what you want.
All right.
I'm kind of, because how the XFL does their kickoffs is the kickoff happens, I believe, from the 30-yard line. And the defending team lines up 5 yards back at the 35-yard line. And they're not allowed to engage in blocking and stuff until the kicker receives the ball. And both the CFL and the NFL have been thinking about, because it seems to have been minimizing the amount of injuries, but at the same time, you still get a kickoff. A lot more exciting than NFL kickoff, for sure. Especially this past season when they moved the ball up, and now basically every kickoff just goes out the back of the end zone anyways.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, it's great. And if it doesn't, they're allowed to do fair catch anyway. So that's a different rule. Instead of just punts, they could do on kickoffs as well. So,
right.
I just kind of thought, I know how I feel. I guess I haven't shared how I felt yet. But how do you feel about both the CFL and the NFL thinking of changing of their kickoff rules for a guy that doesn't pay that much attention to football?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I do occasionally. I watch a couple games of the year. One of them is a Super Bowl. I love, as a not a huge football fan, I love an exciting kickoff return.
Mm-hmm.
It has the potential to be one of the most electrifying plays of the game. Flip side of that, it's also one of the times where you can have some really awful injuries.
Yeah, you have two or a bunch of guys running full speed at each other.
Yeah, and they're big boys. And it's shit can go wrong, but I don't know. For me, anything that can make it so that there's exciting kickoff returns occasionally, because they can't happen all the time, of course, because that's not as exciting. But, you know, I don't know if
I get that. I do like the XFL style things to a certain extent. It does seem to bring down the injuries, and you still get the opportunity of having a exciting kickoff return. Probably not quite as much as you see in the CFL, but more than the NFL. So it's kind of a nice little combination of both, if you will.
Right. Well, do you remember, sorry, I was saying this earlier. Do you remember a guy named Devin Hester?
No, but I want to.
Oh man, dude, I recommend you, if I remember, I'll send it to you. Look up clips of his. He was, I believe, a receiver in the NFL, but his main thing was returns, kickoffs and punts. And dude, it's insane. His speed, his agility, like, he was absolutely ridiculous.
I might have to go on a deep dive. And I guess anyone listening, if you haven't watched any of his clips, then
yeah, Devin Hester, man, check him out. He's nuts. But anyway, sorry. That was probably about a decade ago, maybe. Well, actually, maybe even longer now. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Okay. I've been seeing some stuff lately that's been making me feel old. I know that's probably funny to say since I'm only like 31 or some shit.
Oh, God, you are old. No, it's I get what you're saying, and I think especially with football, because like football, the careers aren't very long, right? Whereas,
well, in the CFL, the average length is 3 years. So
I think it's about the same in the NFL, and whereas like obviously this isn't the average, but like guys we watched growing up, guys we watched play hockey growing up are still playing hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Like. Ovechkin's still scoring goals, man. Crosby's still, like
once in a while.
How many? He's been on a heater lately. But how many players, like football players from when we were kids, do you like are still in the league?
Not very many. There's a couple of quarterbacks,
but who?
Well, like Trevor Harris. Zach Claro. Oh,
I was more talking NFL, but
well, NFL, I guess there's
because like I was thinking of guys like Tom Brady, but he's gone
and not
I,
much. Like, Aaron Rodgers.
My guy growing up was Drew Brees. He's been out for a while. Like,
yeah, it's, Big Ben, it's, he's gone.
Big Ben. Oh God, that is a dude. But yeah, I don't know. It's
no, I get what you're saying. We're getting a little off track, but that's all right. It's our podcast, so.
That's true. Also, I just realized it's something I want to talk about later, but we can't talk about it right now. Anyway.
Oh, the teaser. You can toss in whenever you feel like it's fit. I do want to move right along, though, to.
Yeah.
Because I like money I wish was coming into my pocket. But.
Me too.
This is actually, when I found this out this morning, I was pleasantly surprised. The NFL salary cap is rising up $30.6 million to a whopping $255 million, which I believe is something like a 13.6% increase since over last year.
It's also a quarter of a billion dollars.
Yeah, absolutely insane. First of all, I do want to ask the obvious question. How much do you think that increase is due to one little pop star, if you will?
So, it's not.
I don't think a huge amount, maybe a little bit.
The slightest amount. So the major reason is basically the league has paid back all the player benefits that were deferred in 2020 with COVID. Basically, their cap growth is directly tied to the league's revenue. Obviously, that was limited given the situation, the economic situation. Part of the reason is an extraordinary increase in media revenue, which does come back to what you were saying. I think
they definitely got more viewers because of the whole Taylor Swift thing.
And that's the thing, right? Because people are like, oh, the NFL's already big. Oh, the NFL's already big. It's like, okay, yeah, it's big with men.
Yeah, let it grow into something more. Like, it's not hurting you.
Well, that's the thing, right? And that's the thing. Bringing in more fans is not going to hurt the game. It never has. It might create toxic fandoms, which is definitely a thing, but it's not going to hurt the game.
And the only thing that the whole Macho Men are missing out on is having to watch the guys walk around while they're figuring what play to do next.
Yeah, and again, I know we've talked about it too, but it's like the actual amount of time
Swift was minuscule. On
the TV was so small. It was the hype around it, right? It was the, is she going to make it there for the big game? Is she going to, you know, it was.
But and I hope it continues on to next season.
I will say, as a primarily hockey fan, The fact that their salary cap is going up to $255 million per team is a little frustrating. Because you have a league that clearly knows what it's doing, making money hand over fist, and can afford to pay its players. And then you have the NHL.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Oh, we'd love to pay you guys. We make a lot of revenue. But, oh no, hard fucking salary cap. Too bad. Too bad. And teams have gotten creative, obviously, in the NHL, right? The things like LTIR, that sort of thing. But it still doesn't get you to $250 million.
No. The NFL is on a whole different level. And good for them. They figure out what works for them. And
absolutely.
Other leagues and teams and stuff are dumb for kind of not. I don't get why they're, at least maybe not copy it to a T, because you kind of want to do your own thing. I get that, but
sure.
I'm kind of hinting at the CFL right now when I'm saying these comments. But no, I'm a huge football fan. I'm a huge sport fan, so I'm all for any league
growing the game more.
Hell, I'm surprised I don't have any curling stuff to talk about, because I've also been watching the Scotties, so off and on.
Ooh,
Saskatchewan hasn't been doing very well though.
Oh,
they were up 3-0 and then they lost three in a row, I think, and after that I lost interest, to be honest.
Interesting.
Right? But Austin, we got some other stuff from other things to talk about. Do you want to talk about them?
Nah.
Okay, well. Stay safe, I guess.
We can talk about some stuff.
Okay, well, make up your mind, will ya?
Okay, so first story I want to throw in here. This is the one I was talking about that I wanted to bring up.
Ooh, I'm actually intrigued because I don't know, because it's not in the agenda, which no we will idea. Talk about later.
Well, whatever. We probably won't.
Yeah, we won't.
But so, okay. So there's a new player in the league in the last couple games. I don't know if you've noticed. This kid's a rookie, although I hesitate calling him a rookie, as he is huge. I believe he plays. Hold on, I just want to double check. Yeah, he's on the Rangers.
Okay.
Matt Rempe. Now, Matt Rempe, buddy, this kid is 6'7", 241 pounds. So far in his career, he has played 7 games. Okay.
All right.
How many fights do you think he's been in?
At least 7.
No, but 5. In fact, what was it? The game against New Jersey, I believe, was the first game he played this, or no, not first game he played this season. There was a outdoor classic or stadium series.
Yeah.
I don't care if it was against the Devils or the New York Islanders, but literally his first shift of the game, 1 second time on ice, 5 minute penalty. And this guy, man, like he can throw it. Like, you don't want to fight a 6'7", 240 kid, 40-pound, 21-year-old.
And what do you say is, I know this shouldn't mean much, but what's his name again?
Matt Rempe. R-E-M-P-E. Or Rempe, I don't know.
What part of the world is he from?
I think he's Canadian.
Oh, shit. He's probably some big farm kid.
Very well could be. I may have fucking gone to school with his older cousin. he's Canadian for sure.
Oh, boy. So what, the Rangers are just
Oh.
Trying to bring the Enforcer back or what?
Well, I guess so. Yeah, he was born June 29th, 2002. And Calgary, Alberta. So.
Yeah, he's a farm kid. Guaranteed. Yeah,
100%. 100%.
He could be an old lineman, dude. Or at least a D-line.
6'7", 240, probably.
He would have to put on a little bit of weight to be O-lineman, but...
He could go be a tight end in the NFL.
Oh, dude.
Dude, that's nuts. So, yeah, he's on the scene. He's fighting everyone. I will say the other night he fought a guy from Columbus. Mm-hmm. And first of all, if you can, look up that fight because it is a fight.
Apparently you have lots of links to send me.
Oh, I'm not. I said you look. I'm not sending you shit.
Oh, wow.
The fights that I've seen him in, it's not just like, he fought. Like, he fought. Like,
has he fought any, like,
he's fought some decently tough guys. Like, I don't know. Nothing too crazy, but, like, it almost
like no breeze or anything like that. On that type of level.
But honestly, like, I don't know. Reeves is an old man, dude.
He's supposed to be known as one of the tougher guys in the
league. Well, like 5 years ago, man. I don't know. It seems like he's just kind of there now. I've been watching a bit of the Leafs games. He's just kind of there. But no, this kid, he's the real deal. He's old school hockey. I love it. He's big. He's fast. He's going to punch you in the face.
And, what position does he play?
I believe he's a defenseman.
Seems about right. You might
at
as well just 6'7",
240.
You might as well put him goalie too. There won't be any net.
Although, actually, 6'7", 240. Imagine that guy coming in on you. Like, ooh. Anyway.
Oh, he probably has a secret dangle too.
Probably. All these big guys now, they can play.
Yeah, he could probably do the Michigan or something.
I wouldn't be shocked.
If you're born in the 2000s, you can do the Michigan.
But there's a difference between being able to do the Michigan and being able to do it in a game.
Oh, I bet he can, like,
it's
spin around like Ballerina. Yeah.
Well, that is a different story. Of course he can. It's hockey, dude. I'm gonna move on to the quicker story because I feel like the one story there's a bunch to talk about, but
yeah, I just tossed stuff in here for shits and giggles.
So this is crazy. Nikita Kucherov, he's the first player to hit 100 points this season, and keep in mind it's February, and he has 100 points. In fact, he did it in 59 games. Yeah. He actually has 102 points in 59 games because he had 98 points going into his 59th game. And he was like, I guess I'll get 4 points because my team scored 4 goals and I'll be involved in all of them.
Yeah, because why not, right?
He is up to a 6-point lead on Nathan MacKinnon for points. MacKinnon has 96. Now, I will say the crazy part is McDavid's not that far behind after a very slow start.
Yeah,
he
but
has 89 points.
At the same time, like, especially compared to previous years, in my mind, McDavid's kind of been, like, I haven't heard, like, I know he's been getting points and this and that, but he hasn't been, like, the focal point of discussion and quite some
this
time.
Year,
it seems like.
It has been, well, I think that's for a couple of reasons, right? So, one, obviously, you have Kucherov lighting it up, 100 points. Two, Austin Matthews, over 50 goals.
Yeah.
He's, like, 13 goals ahead of the next closest guy. Like, that's insane. And then you have Nathan MacKinnon, who is also having an incredible season. I get it. Like, he's... But it's still don't underestimate this guy.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just saying because, it's kind of a breath of fresh air, really.
No, that's fair. But as much as like
Oh, Kucherov, 4 points in the game. Nice. Well, okay, McDavid the other day had 6 assists. So, yeah, you know, it's I think he's coming, but I don't know. Kucherov.
People
is...
just whenever McDavid has been getting points, people have not been making the as big deal about it as they have with other players. It seems like, especially this year.
I will say though, and with this, I need to have it said.
Do you?
The key to Kucherov, as many points as he has, he's a dirty motherfucker. I know we've talked about it before, probably a long time ago, maybe in the playoffs last year, but Kucherov is, and fucking feel free to try to prove me wrong, but if Kucherov gets mad, he loses his mind, and he is one of the dirtiest players in the NHL. He will spear you. He will slash you. He will do whatever it takes. He will cross-check your spine into the goddamn concrete. He does not care. And to a certain degree, you have to be a winner, right? You have to be willing to work and work and not stop and beat the other guy literally into submission. But there's a line, and he definitely can cross it. He hasn't crossed it much this year because he's been putting up lots of points. He's been doing his thing, but I don't know. I find with him, as soon as things don't go his way, he becomes a bit of a little Russian baby. And
well, we saw that in the All-Star.
Well, and to bring it back to that, right? Oh, I'm the best player in the league, so I don't have to try because I don't give a shit.
Like, if I'm being honest, like the very first competition that you entered in, I forget what it was. It looked like he wanted to try, but as soon as he made one little mistake, he's like, "All right, well,
fuck it, I'm done for the day."
Yep.
I don't know. I really, for the points race, I really want a McDavid or McKinnon to win it. But that's just me. Well, I don't think it's just me, but
no. I wouldn't mind having someone else other than McDavid win it either. McKinnon, I'm okay with that.
But it's also like, that's the thing, because I'm sure back in the day people were like, you know, it'd be nice if somebody other than Gretzky won the Art Ross.
Oh, but yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying McDavid is Gretzky, so I that's not what I'm saying.
No, that's what I heard.
But a guy who's dominant. I mean, I just take it in, man. It's we're witnessing something special, whether you like to win it or not. And I know he's on your least favorite team.
Hey, my least favorite team lost to my favorite team on Saturday. So
your least favorite team,
the Oilers, lost to my Flames on Saturday.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Battle of Alberta, 6-3.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that.
They actually, sorry, this just reminded me of one thing that happened in the game. Edmonton was down by 3 goals at one point with 7 minutes left to go in third. They pulled their goalie.
Hey, you know what? Try it out. Why not? I dig it.
Apparently, Patrick Waugh has been doing that up to his old shenanigans as well.
Yep, he brought it back into the league, and I love it. I love it. Although, you know, it is interesting as a guy who was a goalie that he's so willing to have the goalie off the ice.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if it works.
Well, hell, he's just still better that he wasn't allowed to. He was trying to pull himself when he had that horrible, that 7 goals in or whatever it was. So that's why he's probably pulling all the goalies.
Well, he's maybe. But so this week we also have a couple jersey retirements.
A couple?
We have a couple. Well, so firstly, and this one I didn't even realize was happening, but it's long overdue. Mika Kiprusoff.
Yes.
Kipper. Man, one of the best goalies to ever wear a Calgary Flames jersey. If not the best, maybe?
The best. He's
Yeah,
I would also put him up there as one of the top goalies to ever play in the entire league.
There was just and the thing with him, he just was so, I don't know, man. It's I mean, obviously franchise leader in goals, wins, not goals, sorry, games played, wins, goals against average, save percentage, shutouts. Basically name a goaltender category and Kipper's got it. But yeah, his 34 is going to be raised to the banners. He, interestingly, he's the second Flames goalie to have his number retired. It'd be him and Mike Vernon.
Yeah, that's another. Well, that was the only goalie to ever win a cup with
right.
the Flames. So,
but boy, did Kipper get close.
Oh, yes.
And I know I don't want to, you know, rip the Band-Aid off or whatever. Take the scar off.
At this point, but
it does. It was. And you know what? It's moments like that I remember. I remember because it was Canada was cheering for Calgary. I remember that. It was. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, oh, Flames suck. No. They're in the Stanley Cup. It doesn't matter. Fuck the Lightning. We want the Flames. And I remember that was really cool. And then the next year was a lockout and everything fell apart after that. But anyway.
You know what I just realized?
What's that?
So you might also have heard this other guy. Have you ever heard of a guy, Jerome Iginla?
I am familiar, I believe. His kid, I think, is going to be in the NHL soon.
Well, that's actually interesting.
Yeah.
And he also works for Calgary. I'm seeing a connection already. Anywho, but speaking of connections, I didn't realize this until I was reading this. Micah Kiprusoff originally played for San Jose at the start. So yes, did Jerome Iginla.
Oh, really?
And they both got traded to Calgary.
But hold on. But Iginla at one point must have been with the Stars.
Or is it? Oh, yes. No, sorry. No, you're right. The other green and black team.
Okay. Because, yeah. Because they traded Neuendijk for him, right? I think it was.
Something like that. Okay.
Neuendijk
yes.
to the Stars for, yeah.
Yeah, you're definitely right. I just saw the Sharks and I... Okay, well, Mr. Hockey Insider corrected me. But it's still kind of funny that the Flames got two all-star players from other teams.
Yeah, I mean, and that sometimes that's the way she goes. But the other jersey retirement, arguably one of the best defensemen to ever lace him up. One of the most long-lived careers of a defenseman. We got Chris Chelios, buddy.
Oh, Chelios.
So Chris Chelios, he played the 90s in Chicago. He was drafted Montreal 1983. He only played about 12 games that year, but then he became a regular the next season. And he played to Montreal from 83 to 90. Then 90 to 99, he was Chicago. Then 99 to 2008, Detroit. And then one last year in Atlanta.
Oh, my dad still has an Atlanta Thrashers banner.
I love that.
Like
that
one of those old school triangle banners that used to be.
Yeah. I remember I used to get those because when you played hockey, minor league hockey, you'd get like these things and you could go to the sports store and you get a banner. And those, yeah, fuck yeah. But no, so Chris Chelios, the longevity on this dude, man. He played 1,651 games.
Holy fuck.
So he retired when he was 48 years old. He ended up not quite at 1,000 points. He had 948 points, but he was Chelios was never the scorer. He was not the guy to bring home the points.
But no, the reason, only reason why he almost had 1,000 points is because he played over 1,500 games.
Literally, over 1,600. He ended his career at a plus 351. He had 2,891 penalty minutes.
Nice.
Okay, this is the stat. This is the stat. In 1,651 games played, Chris Chelios scored 69 power play goals.
Well, he's all-star. He's Hall of Famer just from that stat alone.
Exactly. He also won the James Norris Trophy 3 times.
I don't care about any other stats. So.
But, yeah. So
I guess you can share with other people, though.
The Blackhawks retired his number, which, absolutely. He's in the Hall of Fame.
It almost sounds like a couple teams could retire his number.
Honestly, Detroit could also. But yeah. Detroit has retired enough numbers.
Yeah, they're probably running out of numbers.
I was going to say, people don't want to play in Detroit because they can't have their number.
They're going to have to start just tossing a negative sign in front of the numbers.
Oh, God. Or just adding another digit.
Yeah, or just a decimal will be
43.5. Oh, my God. Just awful.
43 1/8 sevenths. Because that's an improper fraction. Whatever. Move on.
So I think the last thing I want to talk about is just kind of send us off here. But we got a few
into
stories.
The sunset.
Going into the trade deadline. Obviously, there's been some moves already. And this is something I found interesting. Obviously, Rutherford hasn't been in Vancouver very long. So I haven't learned all of his habits. But apparently, his big thing is not trading on trade deadline, and in fact trading ahead of the deadline, so players have a chance to gel and figure out how to play with their team back, which makes sense to me.
Yeah,
right, rather than you have 5 weeks now, you better figure it out, and if you don't, well, we're screwed. But that being said, the Canucks are not done. But again, once again, we talk about Calgary. Because despite having good players, they're not good. And yes, they beat Edmonton 6-3. I'll give you that.
They're only 2 points off of a playoff spot.
That doesn't mean they're good, though, Morgan. When your team is about 500 winning record, that's not good.
They're above by like 3 games. They're 28-25-5, I think.
Yeah, but they're not, though, are they? Because they've lost 5 times in overtime.
Yeah, but
so, in fact,
they got half the points, though.
No, but they've lost more than they've won, Morgan. So I think that's an important thing. Their points percentage is above 50.
If the experts don't think about the overtime losses, then I'm not going to think about the overtime losses.
Well, I'm an insider, not an expert, and I think about these things.
Okay, fucking Bob McKenzie over here.
So, Chris Tanev, Noah Hanifin, those are big names we've talked about for a while. They already shipped out Elias Lindholm. They already shipped out Nikita Zadorov, both to arguably the best team in the West.
Although you guys have been on a downslope ever since you got Lindholm, it seemed like.
Yes and no, because we also just beat the Bruins in overtime, so we're back, baby.
Yeah, the Flames also beat the Bruins, so.
I know, but you guys don't have the thing with the Bruins that we do, so stop trying to make it like you do, because you don't. Okay.
Yeah, but what does that say about the Canucks if they can finally win against a team that apparently a crappy team won?
Tampa Bay won the President's Trophy and got swept by Columbus, so
yeah,
shit
yeah.
happens.
And the Blues and won the Cup.
Sometimes shit teams beat good ones. It happens. It does happen.
Oh, this is going to go nowhere, is it?
No, it's not. It's going to see, and that's the thing. Here's the thing, folks. Here's what you don't know. If both of our teams are good at the same time, it's going to be a problem.
It will be a whole problem. There won't be any other. Or either to be completely honest, if either of our or if both of our teams are really good at the same time or really bad at the same time, it will still be the same competitiveness.
I think really bad, yeah, because we'll both be competing for the freaking
first draft round draft pick.
Yeah.
First overall.
So 10 of, I think, is gone.
He is. It's just a matter of where.
Hanifin is still tricky because I'm still hearing reports that they're trying to sign him.
They want to sign him so bad.
But I don't know if he wants to stay. I don't know. I don't know. But we got that. We got now Markstrom. Jacob Markstrom.
I'm Jacob so Markstrom. Sick and tired of this fucking rumor.
Okay. But at this point in his career, his value is not going to get much higher. Right?
I know. We talked about this last episode, too.
All right. Well, you sent it to me again, so I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah, that's because we didn't finish this entire article.
Oh, that makes more sense. Why didn't you tell me that before?
I was just letting you do your thing.
Ah, oh, son of a bitch. Now we're almost done anyway.
I think there's a couple things. Like, there's some stuff going on in the Rangers because they've had injuries and stuff like that. But apparently they just hire real big fat guys. And
literally in this article, New York moved Jimmy Vesey up to play first line. Matt Rempe replaced him on the fourth line to make his NHL debut Sunday. If we had talked about that then, and then
also in this article, it says Jake Guentzel. Hasn't he just recently been traded?
No, he's injured.
Oh, that's what the thing is.
So there's a lot of talk of him getting traded. He's a pending unrestricted free agent. He's a good scoring winger. But he's now out for up to 4 weeks, potentially longer, because what I'm hearing whispers, rumors,
ooh,
that this Guentzel injury is a lot worse than what they're letting on. And that might be part of them wanting to be able to get something in return, because I learned something. You can trade somebody while they're injured.
Of course you can.
But the risk that comes with it, obviously. And that's the thing, too, because you can make trades, you know, dependent on, like, passing a physical, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Guentzel's interesting. They've talked about, there's a bunch of talk of Canucks looking at him, getting a good scoring winner. I don't know. Where else do you think he fits?
Well, probably somewhere else, yeah.
Okie dokie. we do have a few UFAs that we could see moved as well. We got a bit of a list here. Adam Henrique from the Ducks, he'd be a great depth add at center. We got Tarasenko and the Senators because the Senators aren't doing much and he wants to play somewhere to win. Mantha on the Capitals, Jordan Eberle in Seattle.
Jordan Eberle could be interesting. I could see a Jordan Eberle going to
Calgary.
Canucks.
I was just kidding. Well,
Tell you right now, Calgary isn't making any trades to bring on more salary.
No.
I think they're going to make some huge moves free agency.
That's fair. That's fair. But, I don't know. That's,
Have a little bit of some kind of update, which, actually says this in this article. I guess it's not that much of an update. Tanev, the Maple Leafs apparently have been interested in Chris Tanev, which isn't really surprising because we all know who the GM is there now, Mr. Brad. So he definitely knows what he's getting in with Tanev, and I could see Tanev being exactly what the Leafs need for maybe a year or two for a nice playoff run. So,
well, and I completely agree because I guess there was at one point
a framework of a trade between
the Flames
and the Leafs that included Tanev and Zadorov.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. I've heard about something.
Oh, yeah. But that was obviously before the Canucks trade happened.
Yeah. There's something more recent where Tanev, I've heard a rumor where the Leafs offered a second round draft pick or something like that. But the Flames really want a first round draft pick for Tanev.
Which I don't know, man. He's good, but first round pick's a lot to pay for a UFA defenseman who's not getting any younger.
Yeah. So all time will tell on that. I'm just very impressed with seeing both Tanev and Hanifin play out of their minds every single
week. Hanifin?
What's that?
Tanifin?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just making a little dumb little joke.
It's actually kind of funny because they play on the same line together, so it's like the line that probably won't exist in the near future. So,
oh, God.
But they've come and play their hearts out. They're definitely not players that don't care. So they definitely care, and they play like every... Well, I think Hanifin against Edmonton got 2 goals. So
there you go.
Are we finally at that time that I don't have to listen to you anymore?
Thank God.
All right. You have anything else to say?
Nope.
All right. Everyone out there, you know what to do. I'm going to say anyway, stay stoned and stay safe.
Bye.
Bye.